That won't work. We need a unanimous decision, minus the person being ousted, of course, in order to depose a member of the assembly. We'd never manage to vote out all 8 merchants.
Ham looked a bit deflated. Elland knew that Ham liked to consider himself a philosopher. Indeed, Ham had a good mind for abstract thinking. However, he wasn't a scholar. He liked to think up questions and answers, but he didn't have experience studying a text in detail, searching out its meaning and implications. Elland glanced at Sazed, who sat with a book open on the table before him. The keeper had at least a dozen volumes stacked around him, though amusingly his stacks were neatly arranged, spines pointing in the same direction, covers flush. Ellen's own stacks were characteristically haphazard, pages of notes sticking out at odd angles. It was amazing how many books one could fit into a room, assuming one didn't want to move around very much. Ham sat on the floor, a small pile of books beside him, though he spent most of his time voicing one random idea or another. Tyndwell had a chair and did not study. The Terrace Woman found it perfectly acceptable to train Elland as a king. However, she refused to research and give suggestions about keeping his throne. This seemed, in her eyes, to cross some unseen line between being an educator and a political force.
Good thing Sazed isn't like that. If he were, the Lord Ruler might still be in charge. In fact, Ven and I would probably both be dead. Sazed was the one who actually rescued her when she was imprisoned by the Inquisitors. It wasn't me.
He didn't like to think about that event. His bungled attempt at rescuing Ven now seemed a metaphor for all he had done wrong in his life. He'd always been well-intentioned, but he'd rarely been able to deliver. That was going to change.
What about this, Your Majesty?
The one who spoke was the only other person in the room, a scholar named Nurdin. Elland tried to ignore the intricate tattoos around the man's eyes, indications of Nurdin's former life as an obligator. He wore large spectacles to try and hide the tattoos, but he had once been relatively well-placed in the Steel Ministry. He could renounce his beliefs, but the tattoos would always remain.
What have you found?
Some information on Lord Set, Your Majesty. I found it in one of the ledgers you took from the Lord Ruler's palace. It seems Set isn't as indifferent to Luthadel politics as he'd like us to think.
Elland had never met a cheerful obligator before. Perhaps that was why Nurdin hadn't left the city like most of his kind. He certainly didn't seem to fit into their ranks. He was only one of several men that Elland had been able to find to act as scribes and bureaucrats in his new kingdom. Elland scanned Nurdin's page. Though the page was filled with numbers rather than words, his scholar's mind easily parsed the information. Set had done a lot of trading with Luthadel. Most of his work had been done using lesser houses as fronts. That might have fooled noblemen, but not the obligators, who had to be informed of the terms of any deal. Nurdin passed the ledger over to Sazed, who scanned the numbers.
So, Lord Set wanted to appear unconnected to Luthadel. The beard and the attitude only serving to reinforce that impression. Yet he always had a very quiet hand in things here.
Maybe he realized that you can't avoid politics by pretending you're not part of them. There's no way he would have been able to grab as much power as he did without some solid political connections.
So what does this tell us?
That Set is far more accomplished at the game than he wants people to believe. But I think that much was obvious by the way he manipulated me in the assembly yesterday.
You should have seen the way you all looked, Your Majesty. When Set revealed himself, a few of the noble assemblymen actually jumped in their seats. I think the rest of you were too shocked
Nurdin,
to... Yes, Your Majesty?
Please focus on the task at hand.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Sazed, what do you think?
Sazed looked up from his book, a codified and annotated version of the city's charter as written by Elland himself.
You did a very good job with this, I think. I can see very few methods of preventing Lord Set's appointment, should the assembly choose him.
Too competent for your own good.
A problem which unfortunately I've rarely had. Is this how Ven feels all the time?
She got less sleep than he, and she was always moving about, running, fighting, spying. Yet she always seemed fresh. Elland was beginning to droop after just a couple of days of hard study.
Focus. You have to know your enemies so that you can fight them. There has to be a way out of this.
Doxon was still composing letters to the other assemblymen. Elland wanted to meet with those who were willing. Unfortunately, he had a feeling that number would be small. They had voted him out, and now they had been presented with an option that seemed an easy way out of their problems.
Your Majesty, do you think, maybe, that we should just let Set take the throne? I mean, how bad could he be?
One of the reasons Elend employed the former obligator was because of Nordin's different viewpoint. He wasn't a ska, nor was he a high nobleman. He wasn't a thief. He was just a scholarly little man who had joined the ministry because it had offered an option other than becoming a merchant. To him, the Lord Ruler's death had been a catastrophe that had destroyed his entire way of life. He wasn't a bad man, but he had no real understanding of the plight of the ska.
What do you think of the laws I've made, Nordin?
They're brilliant, Your Majesty. Keen representations of the ideals spoken of by the old philosophers, along with a strong element of modern realism.
Will Set respect these laws?
I don't know. I never ever really met the man.
What do your instincts tell you?
No. He isn't the type of man who rules by law. He just does what he wants.
He would bring only chaos. Look at the information we have from his homeland and the places he's conquered. They are in turmoil. He's left a patchwork of half-alliances and promises, threats of invasion acting as the thread that barely holds it all together. Giving him rule of Luthadel would just set us up for another collapse.
Nordin scratched his cheek, then nodded thoughtfully and turned back to his reading.
I can convince him. If only I could do the same for the Assemblyman.
But Nordin was a scholar. He thought the way Elend did. Logical facts were enough for him, and a promise of stability was more powerful than one of wealth. The Assembly was a different beast entirely. The noblemen wanted a return to what they'd known before. The merchants saw an opportunity to grab the titles they'd always envied, and the ska were simply worried about a brutal slaughter. And yet, even those were generalizations. Lord Penrod saw himself as the city's patriarch, the ranking nobleman, the one who needed to bring a measure of conservative temperance to their problems. Kinelay, one of the steelworkers, was worried that the central dominance needed a kinship with the kingdoms around it and saw an alliance with Set as the best way to protect Luthadel in the long run. Each of the 23 assemblymen had their own thoughts, goals, and problems. That was what Elend had intended. Ideas proliferated in such an environment. He just hadn't expected so many of their ideas to contradict his own.
You were right, Ham. At the beginning of this all, you and the others wanted to make an alliance with one of the armies. Give them the city in exchange for keeping it safe from the other armies.
I remember.
Well, that's what the people want. With or without my consent, it appears that they're going to give the city to Set. We should have just gone with your plan.
Your Majesty.
Yes?
My apologies. But it is not your duty to do what the people want.
You sound like Tyndall.
I have known few people as wise as she, Your Majesty.
Well, I disagree with both of you. A ruler should only lead by the consent of the people he rules.
I do not disagree with that, Your Majesty. Or at least, I do believe in the theory of it. Regardless, I still do not believe that your duty is to do as the people wish. Your duty is to lead as best you can, following the dictates of your conscience. You must be true, Your Majesty, to the man you wish to become. If that man is not whom the people wish to have lead them, then they will choose someone else.
Well, of course. If I shouldn't be an exception to my own laws, I shouldn't be an exception to my own ethics either.
Sazed's words were really just a rephrasing of things Tyndall had said about trusting oneself, but Sazed's explanation seemed a better one, a more honest one.
Trying to guess what people wish of you will only lead to chaos, I think. You cannot please them all, Elend Venture.
The study's small ventilation window opened and Vin squeezed through, pulling in a puff of mist behind her. She closed the window, then surveyed the room.
More? You found more books?
Of course.
How many of those things have people written?
Elend opened his mouth, then paused as he saw the twinkle in her eye.
You're hopeless.
A moment later, Vin landed on one of his stacks of books, somehow managing to balance atop it. Her mist cloak tassels hung down around her, smudging the ink on his letter.
Oops.
Vin pulled back the mist cloak.
Sorry.
Is it really necessary to leap around like that all the time, Vin?
Sorry. Sazed says it's because Mistborn like to be up high so we can see everything that's going on.
Elend nodded, continuing the letter. He preferred them to be in his own hand, but he'd need to have a scribe rewrite this one. He shook his head.
So much to do.
Vin watched Ellen scribble. Sazed sat reading, as did one of Ellen's scribes, the obligator. She eyed the man, and he shrank down a little in his seat. He knew that she'd never trusted him. Priests shouldn't be cheerful. She was excited to tell Ellen what she'd discovered about Demo, but she hesitated. There were too many people around, and she didn't really have any evidence, just her instincts. So she held herself back, looking over the stacks of books. Tyndall sat with her eyes slightly glazed. She was probably studying some ancient biography in her mind. Even Ham was reading, though he flipped from book to book, hopping topics. Vin felt as if she should be studying something too. She thought of the notes she'd been making about the deepness and the hero of ages, but couldn't bring herself to get them out. She couldn't tell him about Demo yet, but there was something else she'd discovered.
Alan, I have something to tell you.
Hmm?
I heard the servants talking when Orisir and I got dinner earlier. Some people they know have been sick lately. A lot of them. I think that someone might be fiddling with our supplies.
Yes, I know. Several wells in the city have been poisoned.
They have?
Didn't I tell you when you checked on me earlier? That's where Ham and I were.
You didn't tell me.
I thought I did.
Nope.
I apologize.
Ellen leaned up and kissed her, then turned back to his scribbling.
And a kiss is supposed to make it all right?
It was a silly thing. There was really no reason that Ellen should have told her so quickly. And yet, the exchange left her feeling odd. Before, he would have asked her to do something about the problem. Now, he'd apparently handled it all on his own.
Your Majesty, I can find no holes. I have read your laws over 6 times now.
I feared as much. The only advantage we could gain from the law is to misinterpret it intentionally, which I will not do.
You are a good man, Your Majesty. If you had seen a hole in the law, you would have fixed it. Even if you hadn't caught the flaws, one of us would have when you asked for our opinions.
He lets them call him Your Majesty. He tried to get them to stop that. Why let them use it now?
Odd that Elend would finally start to think of himself as king after the throne had been taken from him.
Wait. You read over this law before it was ratified, Sazed?
Sazed flushed.
He did. In fact, Sazed's suggestions and ideas were instrumental in helping me craft the current code.
I see.
Tyndall, you were not invited to this meeting. You are suffered at it. Your advice has been well appreciated, but I will not allow you to insult a friend and guest of my household, even if those insults are indirect.
I apologize, Your Majesty.
You will not apologize to me. You will apologize to Sazed, or you will leave this conference.
Tyndall sat for a moment, then she stood and left the room. Ellen didn't appear offended. He simply turned back to writing his letters.
You didn't need to do that, Your Majesty. Tyndall's opinions of me are well-founded, I think.
I will do as I see fit, Sazed. No offense, my friend, but you have a history of letting people treat you poorly. I won't stand for it in my house. By insulting your help with my laws, she insulted me as well.
Sazed nodded, then reached over to pick up a new volume.
He's changing so quickly. How long has it been since Tyndall arrived? 2 months?
None of the things Ellen said were that different from what he would have said before, but the way he said them was completely different. He was firm, demanding in a way that implied he expected respect.
It's the collapse of his throne, the danger of the armies. The pressures are forcing him to change, to either step up and lead or get crushed.
He'd known about the wells. What other things had he discovered and not told her?
Ellen, I've thought more about the deepness.
That's wonderful, Vin, but I really don't have time right now.
Vin nodded and smiled at him.
He's not uncertain, like he once was. He doesn't have to rely on people as much for support. He doesn't need me anymore.
It was a foolish thought. Ellen loved her, she knew that. His aptitude wouldn't make her less valuable to him. And yet she couldn't stamp out her worries. He'd left her once before, when he'd been trying to juggle the needs of his house with his love for her, and the action had nearly crushed her. What would happen if he abandoned her now?
He won't. He's a better man than that.
But good men had failed relationships, didn't they? People grew apart, particularly people who were so different to begin with.
Leave him first. It will hurt less.
Finn perked up slightly, but the rustling had been too soft for the others to hear. She stood, walking over to the ventilation window.
Going back on patrol?
She turned, then nodded.
You might want to scout out Set's defenses at Key Pasting.
Vin nodded again. Ellen smiled at her, then turned back to his letters. Vin pulled open the window and stepped out into the night. Zane stood in the mists, feet barely resting against the stone lip running beneath the window. He stood at a skewed angle, feet against the wall, body jutting out into the night. Vin glanced to the side, noting the bit of metal that Zane was pulling against to hold himself stationary. He smiled at her in the night.
Zane?
Zane glanced upward, and Vin nodded. A second later, they both landed atop Keep Venture's metal roof. Vin turned to Zane.
Where have you been?
Vin jumped back in surprise as Zane spun forward, a swirling form in black, knives twinkling. She came down with her feet half off the rooftop, tense.
A spar then?
Zane struck, his knife coming dangerously close to her neck as she dodged to the side. It was something different about his attacks this time, something more dangerous. Vin pulled out her own daggers, jumping back from another attack. As she moved, Zane sliced through the air, cutting the tip off one of her mistcloak tassels. She turned to face him. He walked forward, but held no combat posture. He seemed confident, yet unconcerned, as if he were strolling up to an old friend, not entering a fight.
All right, then.
Vin jumped forward, swiping with her daggers. Zane stepped forward casually, turning just slightly to the side, easily dodging one knife. He reached out, grabbing her other hand with an effortless motion, stopping its blow.
Nobody's that good.
Zane looked down at her, eyes dark, unconcerned, unworried.
He's burning Atium.
Vin pulled free of his grip, jumping backward. He watched as she fell into a crouch, sweat beating on her brow. She felt a sudden, sharp stab of terror, a guttural, primal feeling. She had feared this day from the moment she'd learned of Atium. It was the terror of knowing she was powerless despite all of her skills and abilities. It was the terror of knowing she was going to die. She turned to jump away, but Zane leaped forward before she even began to move. He grabbed her shoulder from behind, pulling her backward, throwing her down to the rooftop. Zane stood above her, looking down, as if waiting.
I won't be beaten this way. I won't be killed like a trapped rat.
She reached and swung a knife at his leg, but it was useless. He pulled his leg back slightly, just enough so that her swing didn't even nick the cloth of his trousers. She was like a child being held at a distance by a much larger, more powerful foe. This was what it must be like, being a normal person trying to fight her. Zane stood in the darkness.
What?
You really don't have it. The Lord Ruler's Atium stash.
No?
You don't have any at all.
I used the last bead the day I fought Set's assassins.
He stood for a moment, then he turned, stepping away from her. Vin sat up, hands shaking just a bit. She forced herself to her feet, then stooped and retrieved her fallen dagger. One had cracked against the roof's copper top. Zane turned back toward her, quiet in the mists. He watched her in the darkness, saw her fear, yet also her determination.
My father wants me to kill you.
She stood, watching him, eyes still afraid. She was strong, and she had repressed the fear well. The news from their spy, the words Vin had spoken while visiting Straff's tent, were all true. There was no Atium to be had in this city.
Is that why you stayed away?
He nodded, turning away from her.
So why let me live?
I'm not sure. I may still kill you, but I don't have to. Not to fulfill his order. I could just take you away. That would have the same effect.
He turned back toward her. She was frowning, a small, quiet figure in the mists.
Come with me. Both of us could leave. Straff would lose his Mistborn and Ellen would lose his. We could deny them both their tools. And we could be free.
She didn't respond immediately. Finally, she shook her head.
This thing between us, Zane, it isn't what you think.
What do you mean?
He stepped forward. She looked up at him.
I love Ellen, Zane. I really do.
And you think that means you can't feel anything for me? What of that look I've seen in your eyes, that longing? No, it isn't as easy as you imply, is it? It never is.
And yet, what else had he expected?
It makes sense. That's the way it's always been.
What is that supposed to mean?
Ellen.
Kill him.
Zane squeezed his eyes shut. She would not be fooled. Not a woman who had grown up on the streets. A woman who was friends with thieves and scammers. This was the difficult part. She would need to see things that terrified Zane. She would need truth.
Zane?
Vin still seemed a bit shaken by his attack, but she was the type who recovered quickly.
Can't you see the resemblance? The same nose, the same slant of the face? I cut my hair shorter than he, but it has the same curl. Is it so hard to see? Who else would Strath Venture trust as his Mistborn? Why else would he let me get so close? Why else would he feel so comfortable letting me in on his plans?
You're his son. Ellen's brother.
Zane nodded.
Ellen
doesn't know of me. Ask him about my father's sexual habits sometime.
He's told me. Strath likes mistresses.
For more than one reason. More women means more children. More children means more Allomancers. More Allomancers means more chances of having that Mistborn son to be your assassin. While the Lord Ruler lived, I could never inherit. You know how strict the obligators were. I grew up in the shadows, ignored. You lived on the streets. I assume that was terrible. But think of what it would be like to be a scavenger in your own home, unacknowledged by your father, treated like a beggar. Think of watching your brother, a boy your same age, growing up privileged. Think of watching his disdain for things you long to have. Comfort, idleness, love.
You must hate him.
Hate? No. Why hate a man for what he is? Ellen has done nothing to me, not directly. Besides, Strath found a reason to need me, eventually, after I snapped. And he finally got what he'd been gambling to get for the last 20 years. No, I don't hate Ellen. Sometimes, however, I do envy him. He has everything. And still, it seems to me like he doesn't appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
Don't pity me, woman. If I were Ellen, I wouldn't be Mistborn. I wouldn't understand the mists, nor would I know what it's like to grow up alone and hated.
Zane looked into her eyes.
Don't you think a man better appreciates love when he's been forced for so long to go without? Anyway, I didn't come here tonight to lament my childhood. I came with a warning. A short time ago, my father let several hundred refugees through his barricade to approach the city. You know of the Kolos army?
Vin nodded.
It attacked and pillaged the city of Suizna earlier.
Suizna was only a day away from Luthadel.
The refugees came to my father for help. He sent them on to you.
To make the people of the city more afraid. And to provide a further drain on our resources.
I wanted to give you a warning, both of the refugees and of my orders. Think about my offer, Vin. Think about this man who claims to love you. You know he doesn't understand you. If you leave, it will be better for both of you.
Zane bowed his head slightly to her, then jumped into the night, pushing against the metal rooftop. She still didn't believe him about Ellen. He could see that in her eyes. Well, proof was coming. She'd soon see. She'd soon understand what Ellen Venture truly thought of her.